Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Tuesday, November 5th.
The Kaiser Family Foundation reports that some 118,000 New Mexicans are eligible for premium tax credits under Obamacare. The Healthcare Policy Group released a state-by-state analysis of the number of people nationwide who may qualify for federal subsidies to help them buy health plans through the newly established online marketplace. The tax credits can lower the cost of insurance purchased through exchanges operated by states and the federal government. Those job layoffs at Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center in Santa Fe announced Monday are being tied to reorganization steps made necessary by implementation of the Affordable Care Act. The hospital is eliminating 58 positions, and 36 employees have been let go with assurances of a six-week severance package. The action trims millions from Christus's payroll. With a total staff near 2,000, Christus is the largest private employer in Santa Fe County. The League of Women Voters of Santa Fe County is planning a public forum on the Affordable Care Act a week from today at Christus St. Vincent Hospital. Local League President Donna Reynolds says the panel will discuss progress and issues surrounding the implementation of Obamacare in New Mexico.
We hope that the public, as well as our members and others who come to attend, will learn more about what's happening with the Affordable Care Act and some of the progress with implementation, as well as some of the issues that we still think are facing New Mexicans as this national program is rolling out.
Reynolds says former State Senator Dede Feldman will introduce the topic and moderate a diverse panel of speakers. New Mexico is working to lure the growing Mexican middle class across the border to shop. The Albuquerque Journal reports that the state and some communities are launching an advertising campaign to capitalize on a recent rule change made by the U.S. government. The change doubles the distance that Mexicans with something called a laser visa or high-tech border crossing cards may travel into New Mexico without requesting an additional permit. It also increases the maximum time spent across the border to 1 month from 3 days. The state's efforts include advertisements, flyers, billboards, a Spanish-language website, and a smartphone campaign. There's new support for an effort to make college more affordable for University of New Mexico students who came to this country illegally. KOAT-TV reports that UNM student groups recently passed a resolution saying undocumented students should be able to meet the residency requirements and pay in-state tuition just like everybody else. The resolution would apply to undocumented students meeting Department of Homeland Security requirements. UNM President Bob Frank is calling the student resolution thoughtful. There's no word on how many students would be affected by the proposed change. The New Mexico Department of Transportation launched a series of public meetings on its new rail plan in Santa Fe Monday evening. The agency's updated plan defines goals for train transportation in New Mexico. NMDOT rail manager Bill Craven says the proposed five-year document contains little that's new for passenger rail in the state.
You know, Rail Runner essentially is built, and there's not any expansions planned on that. Other proposed passenger rail lines there's really no funding available to pursue any of those.
Craven says future public meetings will be held in Albuquerque, Gallup, Farmington, and Las Cruces. The DOT is also taking public comment on the draft plan until January 3rd. We'll have more information on the plan during At Noon's Features segment coming up shortly. The Santa Fe Metropolitan Planning Organization is generating a pedestrian master plan for the greater Santa Fe area. As part of the planning process, the MPO is providing opportunities for public input on improvements needed to make walking a viable transportation option. The MPO is holding 8 public meetings, the first of which is today between 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. at Ramirez Thomas Elementary School. The pedestrian master plan will outline a vision for existing and future sidewalk connectivity that addresses community desires and needs. Santa Fe's Ethics and Campaign Review Board meets this afternoon. Board members will be looking at a number of amendments likely to be put before voters at the March 2014 municipal election. One would amend the definition of contribution to include certain expenditures made by persons other than a candidate or his or her political committee. Another would ban contributions arising from individuals or businesses having a contractual relationship with the city. Weather for Santa Fe, clearing skies this afternoon with highs in the upper 40s. It'll be clear and cold overnight with lows in the mid-20s. Tomorrow will be sunny with highs in the upper 40s. I'm Tom Tropebridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And taking a quick look at Wall Street at midday, all the major indices in mixed territory, the Dow currently down 16 at 15,622. The NASDAQ up 1 at 3,938, and the S&P 500 off 3 points. It stands at 1,764. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
10 minutes past the hour as At Noon segues to today's feature stories. Joining us here first is New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich. Senator, it's good to have you joining us here at noon on KSFR today.
My pleasure.
What's first on your mind today regarding action in Washington that you think your New Mexico constituents should be aware of?
Well, first, we've had a good week in terms of our ongoing efforts to serve New Mexico's veterans. We had a bill that was heard last week that is aimed at shortening the disability claims backlog, which has really plagued the VA, and make sure that people can move through that process in a more timely manner. And then we had a big night last night with a successful vote to bring the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, to the floor of the Senate, and I'm optimistic we'll pass that legislation this week.
Good. I'd like to talk to you more about both of those issues that you just mentioned. But first, talk to us a little bit about your efforts regarding intelligence reform measures and where those efforts stand with your colleagues.
Well, I think it's been clear to many Americans that the structure that the NSA in particular has been working under is not really at this point holding true to what the founders had envisioned for Fourth Amendment protections for innocent Americans. And I've been working with a number of my colleagues, Tom Udall, Mark Udall from Colorado, Patrick Leahy from Vermont, and others, to try and get that balance right again and to really focus our intelligence collection on the terrorists and certainly not on innocent Americans.
And going back to ENDA, now whatever the chances are for its successful passage in the Senate, over in the Republican-controlled House, we have Speaker John Boehner voicing opposition to it, saying it'll be harmful to business as many lawsuits will likely be filed. Isn't the bill itself an equality and civil rights measure with no fiscal impact?
There's no question, and that's such an empty argument. I mean, we've seen Fortune 500 company after Fortune 500 company already implement these policies. We've seen states implement them with no impact on businesses. In fact, with a very positive workplace impact that helps to improve productivity. So I think that's an empty argument. And my hope is that we'll see a similar situation to what we saw with the Violence Against Women's Act, which early on looked like was going to run into real trouble in the House of Representatives, and where the country sort of had its voice heard, and many people in the House decided that that they should go ahead and bring it up, and then it passed overwhelmingly. I hope to see something similar happen with the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
And you're also playing an active role to reduce the amount of time taken to process veterans' disability claims. Perhaps you can help inform our listeners about why this matter needs addressing.
Well, it's partly due to the fact that we've had so many veterans returning home, becoming veterans from previously being active duty military. And partly it's because of the way that the VA has historically process these things and moving to more electronic records, but that never being a completely smooth process. There is a backlog right now that is simply unacceptable. And what our bill does is it creates some transparency in that process so that people know if they file one way, how long it's likely to take versus another way. In other words, if they file a completely developed electronic application, they know how many days it might turn around. And those tend to be much, much faster versus a partially filed paper application, which can take over a year to process. And just creating that transparency, which we've seen happen in some of the VA offices, has really helped people navigate the system much, much faster. And we want to make sure that the VA is putting that on their website, is putting that information in their offices, so that we can work through this much more quickly.
And Senator, again, reaching back to the issue of ENDA, Monday's vote, I believe, was a cloture vote. What's the next step?
The next step is to debate the bill and to have the final vote. It usually takes 30 hours for that to happen, and so we're hopeful that we'll have a vote on Thursday that will be a final vote passing the legislation and sending it over to the House. And then I think all eyes will be on the House of Representatives to see what Speaker Boehner and the leadership team over there decide to do. This is an incredibly popular piece of legislation. I think it's least popular in the state of Mississippi, where it only has 62% support. In most states, it's in the 80s. So this is good policy. It's good for business. And I'm hopeful that we'll see some real action on it.
Anything else on your mind today before we bid you adieu?
Only other thing I'll say is we had a really successful Quality of Life Initiative event in Santa Fe last Friday and Saturday. Great support from the local community. And I want to thank everyone in the community, from the business community to the government leaders who showed up, to the nonprofits and faith-based organizations. I want to thank them all for making it a very successful event.
Senator Martin Heinrich, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dan.
Support comes from Lannan Foundation, presenting a reading and conversation with Luis Alberto Urrea on Wednesday, November 20th at 7 p.m. at the Lenzic. Urrea's book, The Devil's Highway, tells the harrowing tale of a group of Mexican immigrants lost in the Arizona desert. His novels, The Hummingbird's Daughter and Queen of America, chronicle the life of healer Teresa Urrea, deemed the Mexican Joan of Arc. Tickets available at the Lenzic or TicketsSantaFe.com.
16 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. With the initiation of the Affordable Care Act, a number of New Mexicans are being told that their current health policy will no longer be valid and that they must switch to another one. But Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Mexico has announced that that's not necessarily going to hold true to everyone who has one of their policies. Joining us now is Janice Torres, Vice President with Blue Cross. Janice, tell us about these plans, which will now continue for a time.
We wanted to make sure that we offer the most options and choices to our members. So we worked with the Office of Superintendent of Insurance, and we moved our anniversary date for the individual policies to December 1st. So what that means is that the individual policies, they renew December 1st of 2013, and they remain in force through November 30th of 2014. So the members that have those products will be able to stay with those products a little bit longer, so they'll have an opportunity to take their time in looking to see what's going to work best for them, whether it's an exchange product or an off-exchange product.
Will this be available for both individuals and businesses?
This is for just the individual block of business.
Not all who might be eligible for the so-called grandfathered-in policies will want to continue them, correct?
You know, I would anticipate that those members that might be eligible for subsidies, they're going to want to move to the exchange and take advantage of any tax credits or subsidies. And then those members that, are comfortable where they're at and they're just wanting to make sure they have coverage and not wanting to move for a while will probably stay with their current plan.
And what happens come December 1st of next year?
Come December 1st, anyone that remains in this book of business will need to have made a choice. That choice is either to move to an exchange product or an off-exchange product.
Describe for us what you mean by an off-exchange product.
Blue Cross Blue Shield participates in the exchange, so we have nearly 30 products available on the exchange, and we also have those products available off-exchange. So someone can purchase those products directly through Blue Cross, and it's an off-exchange product. Folks that might purchase on the exchange are obviously individuals that might be subsidy eligible or will receive tax credit.
So this would be anyone who chooses to continue to pay for their own insurance, even if they would be eligible for a subsidy with an exchange product?
Right. They're wanting to get their coverage, and they can certainly purchase it through Blue Cross.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think, again, what's really important here is that we wanted to be able to offer choice and multiple options to our members. And, you know, ACA, the Affordable Care Act, is probably the most sweeping reform in our nation's history as it relates to health care, and probably the most confusing to consumers. So we wanted to make sure and provide our members with adequate time to evaluate all the options that they have and make the right choices for their particular needs.
Janice Torres of Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon. The League of Women Voters of Santa Fe County is planning a public forum on the Affordable Care Act a week from today at Christus St. Vincent Hospital. Local League President Donna Reynolds says a panel made up of diverse stakeholders will discuss progress and issues surrounding the implementation of the Affordable Care Act here in New Mexico.
We've got a very powerful panel. We have invited former Senator Dee Dee Feldman to moderate pretty diverse group of panel members. Dr. Dameron, who's chair of the New Mexico Health Insurance Exchange, and we also have Dorianne Mason. She's an attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. She's going to try to talk about some of the issues surrounding some of the outreach efforts. Ann Sperling is a local insurance consultant. She's going to talk about how the implementation is impacting local businesses. And then we're going to round out the panel with Justina Trout. She's a local doctor who's going to talk about the implications for practitioners.
Reynolds says the National League of Women Voters has endorsed the Affordable Care Act.
You know, they do believe it is going to make a difference in the lives of Americans, some of them already, because it's going to the coverage it'll provide for pre-existing conditions. You know, young adults can already stay on their parents' health plans until they're 26. They're also going to provide a lot of behavioral, preventative, and wellness services that haven't been provided in the past. So, you know, we're hoping for, a positive rollout. They were very supportive at the federal level, and at this point we're just trying to ensure that, we're addressing all of the bumps or any of the problems that folks may be facing here in New Mexico.
On the national level, the ACA has endured a month of controversy since the law's health insurance exchanges opened, including the program's malfunctioning websites and complaints about canceled policies, issues not lost on Reynolds.
You know, they do believe it is going to make a difference in the lives of Americans, some of them already, because it's going to the coverage it'll provide for pre-existing conditions. Young adults can already stay on their parents' health plans until they're 26. They're also going to provide a lot of behavioral, preventative, and wellness services that haven't been provided in the past. So, you know, we're hoping for, a positive rollout. They were very supportive at the federal level, and at this point we're just trying to ensure that, we're addressing all of the bumps or any of the problems that folks may be facing here in New Mexico.
Reynolds says the League of Women Voters of Santa Fe County's Affordable Care Act Forum is set for November 12th at Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center in the Southwest Conference Room starting at 5 p.m.
We hope that the public, as well as our members and others who come to attend, will learn more about what's happening with the Affordable Care Act and some of the progress with implementation, as well as some of the issues that we still think are facing New Mexicans as this national program is rolling out here in our state.
Donna Reynolds, president of the Santa Fe County chapter of the League of Women Voters. At Noon on KSFR will continue in just a moment.
The Lenzic proudly presents National Theater Live, 50 years on stage, broadcast in high definition on November 12th. Celebrate five decades of Britain's national theater with scenes from its greatest plays and a cast of award-winning actors from Derek Jacobi to Judi Dench. For tickets to National Theater Live, 50 years on stage, in HD at the Lenzic, call 988-1234 or visit TicketSantaFe.org. The Lenzic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
24 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. The New Mexico Department of Transportation is holding a series of public meetings on its new rail plan. Joining us once again is KSFR's Tom Trowbridge. And Tom, I understand that the other public meetings are being held in Albuquerque, Las Cruces, Gallup, and Farmington, correct?
That's right, Dan. The DOT is also accepting public comments, including emails, to its rail bureau through January 3rd of next year.
And those public meetings, those began here at the rail yard last night, right?
Yes, and that's the focus of my report.
Santa Fe hosted the first of the public meetings on the NMDOT's updated rail plan. This is the first time it's been updated in some 17 years, and it defines goals for train transportation in New Mexico. Bill Craven is the NMDOT's rail manager.
The rail plan is sets the state's policy regarding rail investments. It's a five-year plan. It's mandated by the federal government. It's a requirement for receiving any money from Federal Railroad Administration for passenger rail purposes. And it also just it's a guide for any other investments the state wants to make in rail.
The transportation agency developed the plan in conjunction with state, local, and tribal transportation agencies, regional planning organizations, railroads, and other rail stakeholders. Craven says federal legislation prompted development of this draft document.
In 2008, there was a new legislation passed called PREIA, Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act. And that put a lot of money out there available for intercity passenger rail and also funded Amtrak for 5 years. And part of the requirements of that was that states that wanted to receive money had to have a state rail plan and to keep it current every 5 years.
Craven calls the rail plan an educational document. He says many people don't understand the complexity of funding issues affecting railroads. An example, says Craven, is New Mexico's anti-donation clause.
We have in New Mexico the anti-donation clause in the state's constitution, and this is a huge impediment to the state funding any kind of private investments. The clause itself prohibits the donation of state or any political subdivision of the state's funds to any private entity and explicitly includes private railroads. So this limits the ability of the state to spend money to directly benefit a freight railroad. In Railrunner's case, because it's a state-owned property, the anti-donation clause doesn't apply, and also the tracks it runs on are owned by the state.
The plan sets state policy for freight and passenger rail operations and identifies current and future rail facilities, services needs, issues, and opportunities. But Craven says the plan contains little for new passenger rail facilities.
You know, Railrunner essentially is built, and there's not any expansions planned on that. And other proposed passenger rail lines are not. No, there's really no funding available to pursue any of those. So at least for the next 5 years, those are largely on hold. I know El Paso and Las Cruces are doing some feasibility studies on a potential commuter rail line linking those cities. But other than that, there's not any commuter rail improvements proposed.
Posted on NMDOT's website, the plan also evaluates and prioritizes the benefits, costs, and efficiencies of potential new rail projects and services, according to funding availability and other factors. For KSFR, I'm Tom Trowbridge.
Support comes from Mountain Cloud Zen Center in Santa Fe, where there's no need to don robes or shave heads. The miracle of everyday life, that's where real awakening happens, in the midst of ordinary lives. A taste of the deep, clear peace of authentic Zen can be found at Mountain Cloud Zen Center. Thursday night talks and Sunday morning practice with resident Zen teacher Henry Shookman. Everyone always welcome. Learn more at mountaincloud.org.
28 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Many New Mexicans regularly flock to the outdoors, irrespective of the season. Here with ideas on how to enjoy outdoor time safely is KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard.
Even though temperatures are falling, there are a number of New Mexicans who will want to get out and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, hunting, and even boating and fishing. With the change of seasons, safety becomes a major issue. Toby Velasquez is a law enforcement officer with the New Mexico State Parks.
We're hoping that a lot of folks will get out and enjoy their autumn and early winter experiences in New Mexico State Parks and just in general outdoors in New Mexico. That's why we're all here. It's a great opportunity to be outdoors, and it's a great fall season. The colors have hit, and the leaves are falling, and the elk are bugling, the salmon are pooling, and you know, it's just a great time to be outdoors. So we really want people to be out there, but what they need to do is if you're out in the water, wear your life jacket. Your life jacket helps retain your core temperature. It also keeps you buoyant so that you can self-rescue or so that others can rescue you. Life jackets save lives. We know that each and every year a life is saved because of life jackets. And so that's our big one for out on the water. On land, if you're out hunting or if you're out hiking, let people know where you're going. File either a float plan if you're on the water with a local marina or a park office. Or if you're hunting, tell friends, family, someone who will know what you're doing so that if you run into any issues, they're tracking you, they know where you might be and where rescuers could potentially go and look for you. So really sharing that information is key. Another thing is never go out to the outdoors and be impaired by drugs or alcohol. That's huge. You always want to have your senses about you when you're out on the water or out in the woods. That's so important. Impairment is not a good thing when you're out in the elements and out in the outdoors. And then the next thing is be as educated as possible. Know about where you're going. Know about what you plan on doing. Know about the weather. Is there any other licenses or permits or registrations or anything that you need to go out there and be hassle-free? Be as educated as possible. And then give everyone an opportunity to go out with you. It's best when you do things in pairs. Invite people. It's the best thing to do. You create more memories that way. A lot of times we find individuals who run into situations when they're by themselves and they have a problem, you know, maybe functioning through those issues. And so when you have a partner, it's usually a better turnout. And so, you know, take someone out with you.
Even though we think of our state as dry, there are a number of lakes where boating activities take place year-round. Boaters must remember that falling in the cold water can be fatal.
Cold water immersion is a primary killer for hunters and anglers out on cold water on cold days. The ambient air temperature is colder than anything that we're used to prior to this in the year, and the water temperatures are dropping each and every day as we head into winter. And so once someone is immersed into a cold water situation, their abilities to self-rescue or rescue others is greatly diminished.
More information is available from New Mexico State Parks on safety measures for outdoorsmen in colder temperatures.
With New Mexico State Parks, they can call 888-NM-PARKS. Or they can visit our website at nmparks.com.
Toby Velasquez with the New Mexico State Parks.
Be safe, be prepared, know your weather, wear a life jacket, and know your equipment. And if you don't feel you just don't have the skills in inclement weather, stay on land. Don't go out on the water. Wait till that weather changes. It is New Mexico, and hopefully it changes quickly as usual. But always err on the side of caution. And the biggest thing, never be under the impairment of drugs or alcohol. And with that, I think people will have a great time in the land of enchantment if they just follow those few tips.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:32 now in the KSFR newsroom. Just past the bottom of the hour, makes it time once again to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I'm not going to criticize anyone for smoking cigarettes. How could I, with any sort of integrity? Please understand. Don't get the wrong idea about me. I do all sorts of things without any sort of integrity. But back to tobacco. Not the wacky tobacco, but the good old American chemically hyper-infused, genetically altered, no doubt that was my disclaimer, tobacco, excepting, of course, our own American Spirit Tobacco Company. Are they still in business? I smoked cigarettes, a lot of cigarettes, for a lot of years. The only reason I quit was I was under duress, from fear. Recently, while in the store owned by the son of Albert, I noticed a pack of cigarettes on sale for $4.50. My two-pack-a-day habit would be costing $63 a week to kill myself. I hear that in New York City, a pack of cigs goes for upwards of $11. Forget about stopping smoking for health reasons. How about poverty? For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Charles Maynard and Tom Trowbridge. We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you, and as always, we hope you join us.